Hello and welcome to the Agile Revolution.
Happy New Year!
No, we've already done that. The last show we recorded was actually before Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
No, hang on. Easter!
Yeah, happy Easter, buddy!
I hope that Santa Claus brought all your Easter eggs.
Hi, I'm Renee. Welcome, Craig.
Hello, how's it going?
Welcome, Tony.
Hello.
Excellent. So, for the first show being recorded after the New Year, it's been ages since we've gotten together as a group and talked about things, and lots of changes have happened. Lots of interesting stuff have come out.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yes. Craig's had a haircut.
Yes.
Yeah, and Tony's still got no hair, so there you go.
So we're going pretty well. And Renee, we're not asking that question.
No, I would want to do something with my hair, but that's a side conversation.
It's a girly chat for the blooper reel.
That's it. Yep.
I'm going to go blonde. Anyway. Noticed that...
Baby, you're already there. It's just the hair you need.
I noticed that there has been a Scrum Master Manifesto that has erupted on the internet. You can find it at www.scrummastermanifesto.org.
You can indeed. You stole my story, but yeah, exactly. exactly that. Well, it's not a new thing. It's been
October?
Around since the Scrum meetup in London, where it was kind of devised. In fact, the guy who led the charge on it had actually had a blog post probably even a few months before that around it, but it's not a widely known manifesto. I mean kudos, at least it's sort of been put out in the public domain, and it's not just hidden in a website somewhere. There is nothing really in there that says it's a Creative Commons type work or anything like that, which might have just been a bit of an oversight that when they wrote it. But it's an interesting manifesto. What were your take on it, guys?
Well, so maybe we should really quickly run through it and just sort of give an
give an overview of it first. Give
12
it
Scrum Master pocket principles. Number one, dedicated delivery improver. So this is the role of the Scrum Master.
Yeah, well, it starts with the statement. A Scrum Master manifesto. We believe the Scrum Master is a full-time position for one person on one Scrum team.
Full-time?
It's a full-time position for one person on one Scrum team.
Full-time?
Full-time position for one person on one Scrum team.
Show your support on Twitter.
So, 12 really? Scrum Master pocket principles. So, you mentioned the first one.
A Scrum Master defined in 15 words or less. Don't forget about that as well. Right.
Yeah. Number two, foster continuous improvement.
Number three, help continuous improvement.
Ooh, number four, empower, coach, deliver.
Number five, nurtures the team.
Number six, a transparent team helper.
Commitment to excellence is number seven.
Number eight, my favourite number, empathetic evangelistic guide.
Number nine, the resistant, persistent, dedicated.
Number 10, help the team.
11, awareness, then improvement.
And number 12, drum roll please, the agile driving force.
Woohoo! Oh, hang on, I just found it in my pocket.
Wait, full-time?
The Scrum Master is a full-time position for one person on one Scrum team.
We should get a Google, Facebook, I don't care, a vote done. Is the Scrum Master really a full-time position or not? So,
the thing behind this, right, so I wrote an article for FAQ around the manifesto.
Link will be in the show notes.
And really because I had been seeing a lot of chatter in the community about the full-time thing. And the reason this manifesto was written is that lots of Scrum Masters who are starting out come in and they go, is the Scrum Master really a full-time job? I just kind of do a little bit here and there and our company won't really pay for someone to do it and those type of things. And really what it was leading to, at least to a lot of people in the Scrum community thinking, is that people weren't really taking the role seriously. And if you take, Scrum as per the Scrum guide, there is no other role, things like project manager or anything like that. So the Scrum Master and the product owner, as defined by Scrum, are very key roles.
Yep.
The interesting thing is when you actually go and read, so I don't really think I've found anyone in the Scrum community who disagrees with the statement is a full-time position for one person on one Scrum team. I haven't seen anything where people disagree with that. However, it's our old favourite word in Agile, which is
It depends. Right. By the way, that's two words, but anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was just going to say, Craig, two.
Well,
it depends.
Yeah, depends. The depends word is that when you actually go and read, everyone agrees with the statement, but then they go, oh, but, right, it depends, right? You know, because if your team's more mature, then obviously you don't need to do full-time Scrum Master duty. You don't need to do so much coaching. You can go and cut some code. You can go and pick something up. So
what you're saying is that would be agile.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, right, okay. I just thought I'd ask that question.
And I guess the thing I was trying to pick up from here is that how literally are people taking this? And then when they look at that Scrum Master full-time role, do I look down that list of 12 things that we read out and go, oh, I'll have to make my entire role just about that?
Exactly. My fear is that people would look at this, look at the title, look at the role and go, yes, I'm going to create a job description around this, I'm going to allocate a person to this and, you know, Bob's your uncle, that's it. Now, you know, it has a bit of leeway in the fact that help the team means that, you know, you can potentially get in and get dirty.
Mm-hmm. I think
but the important you're not thing... being a Scrum Master when you're getting dirty.
So the important thing for me is have you read the disclaimer, guys, at the bottom?
Oh, read this disclaimer. What's the disclaimer?
Made on Mac.
So I'll read the disclaimer out because I thought there were some interesting points in there that just related to what you were saying. This manifesto is intended to be a guide for Scrum Masters to reflect and improve, not as a mandate for strict compliance.
Mm.
So this has been created from an awareness that many new or inexperienced Scrum Masters may be compromising their role through a lack of understanding of knowledge, hence compromising their team's ability to become more self-organising. All the content was formed from data gathered from surveying 100 active Scrum Masters. We polled them very hard. No, that was just me and then. Adding users' consensus exercises with the 40 to 50 people who attended the session at the Scrum Alliance Global Gathering in London. The vision is to iterate this artifact by running similar exercises with other Scrum Masters to show how the role is changing over time.
Well, that's nice. I like the fact that they're going to be iterating it and changing it over time. I like the fact that they've got the disclaimer. Could they put it up front?
Yeah, I think it...
Because disclaimer at the bottom, I'm not going to read
it. It just caught my eye. It was accidental. And I thought the very important thing there, not as a mandate for strict compliance.
And there's a guideline, too.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, if you go and read, and the guy's name's escaping me right now, I'm sure you've got the InfoQ article there, but... The guy who originally kind of led this, it's been something he's had around, you know, for quite a while, and I think it's good that he kind of, you know, put this forward and actually sort of put this out there, at least as a discussion point. I mean, he hasn't sort of been going around and, you know, evangelising it, but it's really, I think it's a talking point for people to actually realise what the, you know, what the role of the Scrum Master is. But it is a depends role, and I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head before, Tony. It's like, you know, getting your hands dirty is... You know, one of the things that everybody kind of agrees is that if you're part of a cross-functional team, then you should be able to get your hands dirty. And unfortunately, what I see is now we've got a lot of career Scrum Masters who walk around and their entire job, they believe, is to organise a story wall and write on index cards. And that's not a role in its own that adds any value. To me, someone who plays a Scrum Master role should have a core competency that... when
they give.
Anytime they have left over... from, you know, from not doing things like removing impediments and helping the team grow, to when they go and get their hands dirty and go, I can pick something else up off the backlog.
And by the value of getting their hands dirty, they actually get to see the nuts and bolts of what's going on and pick up on the things that a Scrum Master really needs to understand that's going on in the team. Because by removing themselves, they've become no more or no less a leader that's just sitting out there and not actually a servant to the team. That's my opinion.
Okay, and I'm not disagreeing with any of this, and I think, you know, help the team covers it off. But you're not being a Scrum Master when you're helping the team. You're putting a completely different hat on. You're putting on your domain expertise hat.
Absolutely. But I guess that's the point, is if you read this as a Scrum Master as a full-time position...
Mm. Then that's the case.
Then you go, oh, I will never go and pick up a story card.
Yeah.
So we need someone who is essentially, this person is the Scrum Master, right? We don't actually give them any, we don't assign them to any active velocity. But if they can do stuff to help the team to go faster... then that's the benefit. And if they can pick up an extra story or two to help us go faster, that's great. So that, I think, is the kind of the missing thing that's missing in this. And
yeah.
I don't know exactly how to word that.
And you know, on the note of it, it depends. It depends on the competency and the capabilities of the team. So you might have a team that's completely new and agile that needs a lot of hand-holding, and you'll be spending a lot of time hand-holding. But, you know, over time they might get better and you can spend less and less time, but you also might have a team that is... fairly well conversed in agile and needs less of a hand.
Here's the piece that concerns me is if you have a full-time Scrum Master, okay? What happens when they take leave? What happens when they're away? So there's no convergence or thought pattern in here.
Read the words again that I've read already six times on this podcast.
Yes.
We believe the Scrum Master is a full-time position for one person, one Scrum.
Yep,
one. It doesn't say we go and employ a Scrum Master and that's their role.
And we hire them, yeah, exactly.
It says that someone in the team gets nominated to be the full-time Scrum Master.
Right,
and it's left it completely open to say if you want to rotate it on a three-monthly basis, if you want to...
But they didn't put it there, right?
That's right.
And so for me, what's going to happen... So you're absolutely right. What's going to happen? Well, we know that happens because when we walk in there, the first thing you hear is there's a full-time, as we know it, iteration manager. The first question you ask is why? And do you have somebody else that can take your role when you're not there? Are you training someone else to do that so that you can rotate?
Yeah.
Because it's no less or no worse than a single point of failure, right?
Well, theoretically, anybody in the team should be able to do the Scrum Master.
Correct.
Right, theoretically. We know, however, that some people are just more passionate, more organised and... than others, and they fit that role
better
than others, right? And to me, you put a team together, and it's usually the person who walks up to the wall and goes, oh my God, these stories need to be organised, almost the person that stands out as being the person who does it, right? Not through actually some anointment process where you go, I now decree you to be the Scrum Master, and then sing hymns about it.
But that happened to me the other week. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well,
there's
change around
your
neck
in the program. Ah, right. So I want to ask you a question. What's your feeling on when there's a project that has multiple streams? Now, that's one of the few times I've seen one full-time iteration manager, Scrum Master, whatever you like, working full-time. And when I looked at what they were doing...
Read
the words again.
Full-time position for one person on one Scrum team. A Scrum team is... the core team of what you're doing. That's a feature team or a stream or whatever word you want to use.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Scrum terminology, that's it. So each of those has to have a Scrum Master.
Okay.
Full time.
Mm. So when?
Full time.
Scrum Master is a full.
So hang on. What about the pocket principles? Any thoughts on those? Anything you feel is contentious about?
My only issue with those is that I think that first statement was actually reasonably well thought out, like as much as we're sort of picking some holes in it.
Mm.
Right, it seems they went to very clear about that. Everything past this is very community written.
Yeah.
And there's not really a lot of elaboration on it. So, you can read a lot into these. I mean, the words in there I think are reasonably good. Whether I'd have this, them worded exactly the way they are, it's probably contentious, but I don't think there's anything that stands out to me that actually says that's completely wrong. I think it's more what it's missing is the
context.
You know what I would have loved to have seen here?
No, Renee, what would you have loved?
What a Scrum Master is not.
Interesting.
So, some of the words that I hear, like evangelistic, guide, and driving force, I don't dispute that they have to be that, but it's how they go about it. Talk about agile jihad and people who just keep on pushing and pushing without listening. And there's nothing in here really about listening.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think there's lots of
can't argue with
that could be potentially in there. And I agree. It's like any guide for any Scrum Master probably also needs to be what you are. I mean, you're not a full-time manager. You're not the...
The interesting thing, and I don't think you've got it on that bit, but if you have a look on the other page, there's a little checklist underneath that runs underneath this as well, which is the top 10 things a Scrum Master usually forgets to focus on, but is not solely responsible for. Did you see that part of it as well?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so it's truncated
in the one
we printed out. Yes,
and
we have to get ourselves a new admin assistant. I've got to tell you.
I brought my own.
You brought your own. Good job. What, your own admin assistant, or you brought your own copy?
Both.
But it has some interesting things there. Redefining career paths and goals to be more Scrum focused. Missing product backlog items.
I like the preamble to that as well.
Yeah, pair programming is being utilised. Definition of done is being expanded. So on. So all in all, what would you give it out of a 10?
Look, I think it's a start. I mean, anything that... It's something that people... I read blog post after blog post that have been going on for years and said that there's been an explosion of it. at least there's some point where you can at least start the discussion from, and if nothing else, that's kind of what I like about it. It's not a mandated thing, and it doesn't really line back to Scrum Alliance or anything like that. That's got positives and negatives, to my view. I'm concerned, will it ever get updated? Because it's not really being community-driven. It's not, you can't... I don't remember that you can comment on it anywhere from memory. It's kind of just a static site.
It's out there.
So... yeah, there's some pros and cons on that.
You know, having some more guidance, I think, is always a good thing.
Doesn't
having
hurt.
The community contribute, brilliant thing.
Look, I have to say, if you were a Scrum Master who just started out in the position, it's not a bad little guide. You could do worse.
Exactly.
You could do a lot worse out there in the world.
And I think actually that's probably the key, is that there is no real good book or guide anywhere that I've ever seen for the role of a Scrum Master. It gets mentioned in almost every book, but it's
isn't there Certified Scrum Master training though?
There's no book that goes with that. So the Certified and the Certified Scrum Master training still, for the most part, is an overview of Scrum, less about the role. It mentions that as part of the training, but even I wouldn't say that's the definitive guide. There's certainly parts in there, but there's no one place you can go, right, I really want to hone my skills as a Scrum Master. Coaches have it, testers have it, developers have it. But, Scrum Master's kind of almost one of those things that comes together. And maybe that's because it is kind of an ill-defined role, because there is no rules, per se. But there is no guidance. If you walk into your company and they go, look, we need some people to pick up and take on the reins of Scrum Masters, where do you go?
Okay. Moving on.
Moving right along.
You got anything, Tony, this week?
I didn't have a lot this week, and I'll be honest that I did get wrapped up in this when Renee gave it to me, so, and you can see that I read right through it. There was an interesting little one out there. It was called Agile Practice and Work-Life Balance. And a couple of dot points on it really caught my eye. There is a full blog post on this on SOA Systems, but one of the interesting ones it had was main reasons of work-life imbalance, in my opinion, is the single reason which leads to work-life imbalance is when somebody, maybe even you, makes a commitment which cannot be fulfilled without putting in extra effort from your side, and you're not ready to face the consequence of not meeting the commitment. This extends to agile. Agile process promotes sustainable development. Agile practice by itself is unlikely to help you achieve work-life balance.
And I think and that's something we preach in our training, right, is that the outside view of agile is, oh, we do a bunch of stand-ups, then we'll be agile. Or, we'll do this retrospective every 2 weeks and all of a sudden we'll be agile. And the practice itself is not the underlying, you don't win by doing that. You win by the underlying values and principles.
Correct. And I don't know how many times we've been into, and we've discussed this, the bunch of us, because we've been into teams where if you just did and we were talking about it this morning, Renee, you can go into a team and do a practice level assessment and the practices might all be there, but it's that glue that makes them work together and makes them tick over in harmony, which is the values and the principles, right? And when it all comes back to it, you can have those practices, but the principles are that compass that points you on the guidance towards true north. When you're knee-deep in practices, what do you refer back to? Your principles and values to make sure things keep moving forward.
Well, what's the work-life balance link?
Well, so what he's basically saying is that if you think your work-life balance is going to get improved by doing the agile practices, then think again.
Well, if you can make your environment a fun place to be in, a place where you want to get up in the morning and go to work, agile, working in an agile way, if you follow the continuous improvement and those type of things, you should actually get there. But just by saying I'm going to do a bunch of these things that I've read in a book.
Absolutely, and that's what he's saying, agile practice by itself is unlikely to help you take work. So, the gist of the whole post is basically that's not going to get you there. You can be as agile practice as you like and think that's going to be one of the benefits you're going to improve. That's not going to get you there.
Cool. My one, very quickly, there's a whole bunch of lists that come out, for the beginning of the year. I thought this one was quite good. The 10 most annoying management terms of 2011.
Excellent. Right?
And I actually read through this, and I think I could recall hearing at least 7 out of the 10 in something that I read or attended. So, very quickly.
Wait, do any of us do them?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
I always like to think I'm annoying someone.
Yes, I don't think you'll see them. So number 10, most annoying management term, internalise. Internalize. Number 9.
Oh, probably not me, that one.
Hi, I hope all is well.
Oh, no, never.
No, I don't do that one, no.
Number 8. Weaponize price opacity.
Definitely don't do that one.
I could swear.
As the scarcity of new Himalayan pink salt in the financial market takes its toll on the bottom lines of financial institutions, it is becoming more important for them to make sure they maximize the profitability of existing basic products. Opacity of price is critical in this process, but weaponizing it? Wow.
Right.
So, yes. Just a bunch of words shoved together, basically. Number 7, ideation.
Oh.
I've heard that one.
I have heard that one, but yeah, I've never actually used that myself, I've got to tell you.
Number 6, stakeholder community.
Maybe getting close to the truth there.
Yeah, maybe busting.
Number 5, socialise. You have all used that.
We have all used that.
Guilty as charged.
Number 4, complimentary. Number 3, bandwidth.
Okay, guilty as charged. Guilty.
Yeah, please, sir, take me away now.
Number 2, geosourcing.
Never.
No.
Haven't used it, but I have heard it. Yep. And number 1, reaching out.
No.
Reaching out to clients, reaching out to, yes.
Craig, I'm reaching out to you now.
I'm reaching out to Renee to say, steer us into another direction, Renee.
So we're not going to go into too much detail, probably leave it until the next podcast, but I wanted to briefly mention that there has been a new community arise. It has some sort of affiliation, association with the Agile, and it is called Stoos.
Okay, so...
So, Stoos is a city in Switzerland, and similar to how the Agile Manifesto got created, a group of thought leaders...
What is it with mountains with snow on them?
I know.
Yeah, it seems to attract these people, doesn't it?
So, we're going to a mountain soon, right?
Sure.
No, okay. Apparently not.
You know, where we live, there is, you know, we have a dearth of high mountains.
So to get some real context around that, A, we live in a tropical environment. B, Craig and I both looked at Renee.
Right, so Stoos...
and Tony had the deliverance theme going through his head.
So what happened in Agile was a group of guys who had their own books, who had their own theories about doing software development better, got into a room and had an argy-bargy, and eventually came out with a couple of lines of what they could agree to. So Stoos was doing virtually the same thing, a number of thought leaders in the leadership community, trying to get together and say, look, why is it when we have all this plethora of information about how leaders should be working, are they not doing that? What's the reason that leadership hasn't changed as dramatically as it should have by now? So they attempted to ask that question. So they had a number of things, and we'll go into it in another show, but the only thing that I really wanted to point out was the fact that it exists. Start having a look at it. If you want some more detail, they have their own LinkedIn group called Stoos. You can also go to www.stoosnetwork.org. And if you have opinions and thoughts, feel free to contribute. So they're quite a collaborative community at this point in time, quite up for discussions and thoughts and people to help out.
It's interesting, there's a little bit of buzz happening around the leadership community in Agile. I mean, there's the Agile Leadership Network as well, which I notice has kind of increased its buzz as well in recent times.
There's another community called Mix, I think it is, as well.
Yeah, so there's quite a few of them out there. So it's good to see, I think, regardless of who wins out or becomes the, at least it's getting at that level now. Like, it's gone away from the where it was a few years ago, where nobody had heard of the whole Agile thing and, just make stuff happen, to then, the only thing they knew about was what they read in an aircraft magazine, to now where, it's actually like, we actually have to lead differently.
So have a look, but we'll talk
aircraft magazines, Tony, it's where the management point of truth always comes
from. Yes. I was thinking through that, then you can see me ticking through and thinking, I just really wonder how many management ideas have come from those magazines.
Anything else?
No, just the quote, very quickly, the quote of the last one, David Hussman, who I've heard speak before, and quite well respected in the Agile community. Pretty well, this was obviously a strategy post, but I think it just sort of got me back, is that he was obviously giving a speech to some people, and his tweet was, my message to C-level group tomorrow, real agility is best measured by products produced, purchased, and providing real value to real users. And I thought that was a really nice, succinct message, right? I mean, nothing new in there, but in one sentence. So that's nice enough.
I like that.
Do you have any quotes?
Yeah, but how about you go with yours till mine comes up?
I don't have any quotes.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Stoose, that's her quote.
Stoose, that's her quote of the day. Oh, I can't find my quote. It's stuck. That's what happens when you use digital repositories to put things in there.
Mm. Oh, so Tony, for those who can't see it, Tony has an iPhone in front of him. He's scrolling through 457,000.
It's because I had a tag that has just died. Oh well, never mind. Here it is. Lucky, and it's not a real agile one, but I just thought it'd add some life to the podcast. It's a Ricky Gervais, which I quite like. If the rapture doesn't happen today, don't leap to the national conclusion that it's all made up and logical bullshit. Just pick another date.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Is that a 2012 prediction from...
Absolutely.
Right.
It would work.
Yeah, so the rapture doesn't happen today, it's just another iteration.
Yeah. Yes. You're only two weeks away from potential rapture.
That's it.
No, actually...
So get as much stuff done as you can.
So my real tweet of the day that I like came from Kearnsy, Martin Kearns. He's a good friend of everybody sitting here at the table.
Hey, Guernsey.
You got to get that accent. You got to get that accent going. No? You're not going to try it? No. Neither am I. To have effective alignment with Agile, it is essential you find a way to bridge the technical practices of Agile with business acumen.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. Yeah.
So I thought that was really succinct, spot on, and I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
And I know I rabbit on about this in training quite a lot, but I think we haven't learned enough from the technical practices to bring them over to the business side. For example, test-driven development is the one that always stands out to me.
Yep.
Test-driven development, yes, it's a bad word technically for work in the business, but essentially it's understand, make sure you've got a definition of done defined up front before you start something.
Yep.
As an example, but I think lots of those practices have the same.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know... I want to ask you a question in terms of that, because one of the things that I often see with that definition of done and TDD, for me, acceptance criteria is that link that people miss in there. And I know you have some thoughts around that, but it just stems out of something I was just doing in a class just minutes ago, really. And we were doing the acceptance criteria, and they said, why are we doing this? You know, so, and I started to talk about it, and then I realised that, you know, I really should tell them that there's that link between that and the testing. And that's one I forget to do sometimes. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'm poor at it too, but that's because I haven't had such a strong background as Craig has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, why are you doing it? You're doing it so you know when you're done. And it's more, to me, a clear indication of when something comes up that is not in that criteria to decide what to do with it.
Because absolutely.
What most people is they start going down some rabbit hole and never actually complete anything. So when you come up, you go, that wasn't part of our original purvey. It's important. Let's write another card.
Yep.
Finish what we started.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
Yeah, and then that's, you know, and I think people, intrinsically, I know that in my head all the time, and when I'm working in the teams, I do make sure that that's populated. But when I do separated classes, sometimes I do, it's a note to self, make sure you do drive that point through, because I think it's one of the most important points, whether you're doing TDD or any kind of testing, to be honest, but it really does click in when you start doing TDD.
Absolutely. All right.
So we come to the feature of the day. People listening might have to bear with us just a little while, so it won't sound very agile related for the next, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes.
This is a warning. This may not sound agile related, but it really is.
This is a Renee warning. She's going on a tangent.
I received a link to a file which was very interesting. So the actual link is https://frequencyfoundation.com/forms/photoanalysis.pdf. And I've given Craig and Tony a copy. I did scrub out the names of people that were involved for their copy, but unfortunately the game was lost on Tony and Craig because they already knew who it was, somehow through side conversations. Okay, so...
She's not happy with us, is she?
I'm not. You ruined my fun.
She's not happy.
Yeah, she thought, I've got them.
So this is about an organisation called the Frequency Foundation. And if you go to this particular PDF, it's a specifically targeted new age treatment theory? I don't know, is it a theory? What's the word? Okay, I'm not quite sure. So the opening statement is, the Witch goal Dr. of Music. The Frequency Foundation is to assist individuals in obtaining individualised frequency sets for use with their own equipment or for remote broadcasting of those frequencies using advanced technologies.
I don't know about you, Tony, but I read that and I went, what, are we opening up a radio station?
Well, in fact, I think I sent a text message to her saying, what's your frequency, Kenneth?
So to get started with this, several things are needed. High resolution digital photos, you have to sign a release form, a list of issues to be worked on in order of priority, with a brief history needs to be emailed to an above address. You need to transfer factor. You need to order something. Frequency work is enhanced by Tim Buck Water and Biodesk. Whole piles of stuff. Oh, in addition, the fee for photo analysis and ABPA/SC1 broadcasting for an individual person for an initial consultation is $200. So there's a fee associated with this service of sending in your photos and getting an initial consultation frequency back. So there's a number of references to a particular doctor in here. They talk about the doctor being very busy. He's in many different places at one or different locations, so you need to email it rather than mail it directly. And
so in other words, this is a remote consultation. You don't go see this doctor. You take photos following their guidelines, and you send your stuff in, you send your check, and you get a consultation.
Yes.
Electronically.
An electronic consultation back.
Right.
So when you get to the bottom of page 2, it talks about Rife frequencies. It says, Royal Rife identified frequencies for eliminating pathogens using a high-powered microscope that could examine living organisms with higher resolution than most microscopes available today. He could directly see frequencies killing pathogens and notice that exact frequencies were required to generate the effect. So there's a machine that generates these specific frequencies to kill pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
So pathogens could be, you know, a particular, you know, Lyme disease, or it could be potentially cancer. If you go into the backlog of some of the sites, stuff that you can actually purchase frequencies of, one of them is like a fat blasting module. So, you know, I'd be curious if I could blast my fat away. That would be interesting. So it actually doesn't blast your fat away. It blasts away the microbes that live in your stomach that help increase the amount of calories you absorb.
Okay. Hmm. Okay. So far
with me?
No, but keep going.
All right. And then, you know, it goes through a whole pile of things. Gives some nice little pretty pictures of cockatoos who don't look that healthy. And then looking healthy again afterwards. And then talks about the actual requirements for making photos and the restrictions associated with that and where you can send details and release forms and yada, yada, yada. Apparently, taking photos with a tripod doubles the resolution of the image.
Apparently.
Side note for people trying this at home, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, apparently also that if you generate a 2 meg JPEG file, it's 4 times as good as a 500k JPEG file.
I thought you'd pick that one up too.
Really?
And the last one is, high resolution photos like your DNA, it doesn't change much.
Craig, I've seen some of the high resolution photos of you.
Yes, the problem is they're all taken like 15 years ago.
I'm looking at one now.
So to introduce a new article on this, I'm going to refer to Wikipedia. And Wikipedia has a definition of the life of Royal Rife. So the person...
And luckily Renee printed out the Wikipedia article because the entire site is blank. Right?
I was going to say, was that before or after?
Before, thankfully. And I did know it was going down, so...
Because I told her this morning.
No, I knew beforehand, thank you. Thank you, Philly D, but most people don't watch him. Anyway, if you go to Wikipedia and have a look up at Royal Rife, which is, you know, the box that they use to generate these frequencies, you can have a look through some very interesting stuff and eventually get to a section called Modern Revival, Marketing and Health Fraud. It says in here, interest in Rife was revived in the 1980s by Barry Lyons, who wrote a book about Rife entitled The Cancer Cure That Worked. The book claimed that Rife's beam ray device could cure cancer, but that all mention of his discoveries were suppressed in the 1930s by a wide-ranging conspiracy headed by the American Medical Association. The American Cancer Society described Lyon's claims as implausible, noting that the book was written in a style typical of conspiratorial theorists and defiled any independent verification, cross-reference at the bottom of Wikipedia. In response to this reviewed interest, devices bearing Rife's name began to be produced and marketed in the 1980s. Such Rife devices have figured prominently in a number of cases of health fraud in the US, typically centered around the uselessness of the devices and the grandiose claims of which they are marketed. In 1996 case, the marketers of the Rife device claiming to cure numerous diseases, including cancer and AIDS, were convicted of felony health fraud. The sentencing judge described them as, quote, targeting the most vulnerable people, including those suffering from terminal disease, unquote, and providing false hope. In 2002, John Byron Kruger, who operated the Royal Rife Research Society, was sentenced to 12 years in prison for his role in a murder and also received a concurrent 30-month sentence for illegally selling Rife devices. In 2009, the US court convicted James Folsom of 26 felony counts for the sale of Rife devices, also known as Naturetronics, UltraPulse, BioSolutions, Energy Wellness, and Global Wellness.
So that's a lot of stuff, but what you're really saying is that there is this Rife device.
Yep.
And that anyone who, the people mentioned in there have gone, essentially, have been seen to be fraudulent by the results that particular machine has, that particular device has actually shown. And have been seen to fraud.
The device has been shown to not be proven,
mm-hmm.
and that they're selling hope to people in the element of this device when it actually does not exist.
Okay.
So I'm waiting. Where's the agile link? Sorry,
I'm waiting. So the name that's blanked out everywhere is Dr. Jeff Sutherland, co-founder of Scrum and signatory to the Agile Manifesto.
Right.
Interesting.
So the Frequency Foundation still exists. It's still blogging.
Has it been around for a while?
It started in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure when the devices... The devices have never been sold by the organisation. The frequencies have been.
Okay. So the particular organisation is in the selling of frequencies to use with said device, not selling the device.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. But consultations...
On top of that, top yes. Of that. Yep.
Okay. So,
right.
What conclusions do we draw from this?
End.
Yeah, so I just want to make some generic statements at the outset here. I have no personal problems with New Age theories. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I personally even... like to associate myself with raw food. I think it's a really good idea. I've tried it. It works for me, but there's not a lot of proof for me. I mean, it worked for me. Whether it works for thousands of other people, who knows? I can't show anyone any links to say that it proves that it works, but I'm not selling it, nor has raw food ever killed anyone that I know of.
Right.
Really?
On top of this, guys aren't aware, but I have a close family member who is suffering from cancer. You know, he's, tops a month away from dying. And, you know, it scares me that I know how desperate he doesn't want to die. And I know that he wishes to God that there was a silver bullet, but there's not. And the thought that people are out there still trying to sell these silver bullets that... proven to not exist. It scares me.
There is lots of these schemes, I guess, out there in the world, right? Dieting is one that comes to mind.
Everyone's after a silver bullet for that, without a doubt. But
to pull this back to the Agile Revolution. What can we take away from this? I mean, so we're talking about we're talking about Jeff Sutherland, the founder of Scrum.
Yep, who is still very active in the Frequency Foundation, blogging very regularly.
Right, so a key part of that, and what conclusion are we what conclusion are we trying to make here? Because
I don't think I'm trying to reach a conclusion on this. I think I'll leave the listeners to reach conclusions themselves.
So to me, and Tony and I were talking about this a little earlier, is that I think of other of these types of things I've heard out there, and respected people that you know, right, get caught up in them. I mean, there's lots of religions that you hear about, that you read about. You know, you think about Scientology,
there's
lots of, you know, these get-rich-quick schemes and pyramid schemes and all those type of things, and people, you know, tend to fall in and out of them. But, you know, the core thing that they are well known for, so in this case, Scrum, right, doesn't make that any better or worse because of this.
No, not at all.
And my first indication when I sort of read, when I read the article you sent me, was, you know, well, what does this mean,
yeah,
right? And I kind of related back to the movie A Beautiful Mind a little bit, right? It's that, you know, sometimes the wackiest ideas, right? You know, Scrum could have been just the thing that you woke up in the middle of the night and went, there's a solution to that problem, and did it over here when your real life's work is over in some other place. I don't know whether this is the case or not, but...
Or vice versa.
Yes. So where these things come from. So I don't think, you know, there's nothing that being stated here that says that, you know...
There's a direct relationship.
Direct relationship.
Other than through the person, and that's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
No.
But, yeah, I guess it is interesting... You know, even when you start thinking about, you know, people out of the community, where they are in very different, you know, spheres of influence, I guess, and that's probably the main thing that stood out at me here, is that, you know, on the one hand, we've got someone who's well respected as the, you know, the co-creator and a leader in this community, has a very different living, you know, making a living in a completely different area that potentially might have some. You know, other consequences.
Yeah, it's interesting. You never know what people are doing. That's, you know, you look at what they've achieved and where they've achieved it, but you don't know what's on the side of it. So,
interestingly, I went to have a look to see whether there's any, you know, any commentary about, you know, this in the you know, on the internet, and I couldn't find any correlation. You know, there's a very vague link, but there I could not find a blog post, a statement. Anything between the... I don't know whether you found anything.
Between what in particular? A correlation of...
Between the foundation, the Frequency Foundation and Scrum. You know, what we're sort of talking about today, I have not found a commentary anywhere about it.
Right. So people talking about this relationship existing. Right. No.
Which has been around for a number of years.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe that these obviously kept them separated.
Very separate, yeah.
So what do we draw from this? Like, does it change anything in the community? Does it change our perception of people? You know, I mean,
I think people need to make that opinion themselves. I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the community as a whole.
It was something, though, that when... And I'm not sure how it came to you, but wherever it came to you, was it from somebody... Yeah, actually, so
it was a community member that was concerned by it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And obviously it was concerning enough for you to then pass it on to us and for us to talk about it here today.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And obviously if you read some of the things you talk about in that Wikipedia article, there are probably, you know, there are potentially, you know, dire consequences.
Yes, definitely. So if you have any thoughts on this, guys, obviously send us an email.
Twitter us.
Yep, podcast@theagilerevolution.com or Twitter... The Agile Podcast.
Be interested to know what you think and what conclusions you draw from
this. Yeah. Or any of the other wonderful things that we spoke about as well today.
Absolutely.
So send us emails, otherwise signing out.
I think we're just about done, aren't we? Wow, the first one for the new year, really.
Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution.